Truly embracing your complexities means rejecting anything that can harm who you are, like smoking cigarettes, which can damage nearly every part of your body. Tap the banner to see more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Wednesday's Ribnet Battle Line Prophecy News Hour with Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, we have prophecy news, blood moon, Fulani crisis, Christian persecution, Kurdish Jitz attacks, Yazidi rescue, and more world events. So stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday, the 11th day of July, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower. We are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Numbers chapter 30 through chapter 36, verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 28. And also chapter 3, verse 4. The New Testament portion is John chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 36. To check out the latest articles by The Watchman, go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com. The featured articles this week are 4th of July in the American Truism, Part 1 and 2. Part 2 is 4th of July and the Way It Was. And you can listen to the radio programs and read the latest articles by The Watchman and also archived articles by going to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and gethealthyyoungliving.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. We also have three Twitter accounts, #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for our Prophecy News Hour. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Actually, this is, we have our latest news articles and information concerning the days in which we live. That's what we're doing tonight.
Yes, and we have a lot of updates on what's happening in the Christian world.
Oh, man, it's unbelievable what's going on, I'm telling you.
But the first thing we're going to talk about is the blood moon that comes in July. It's going to be on July 27th.
Really? This year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And Mars will be, let's see. See, you're going to have two events on that. Mars is going to appear brighter.
Huh.
And more brighter than it was in 2003. It'll be 10 times brighter than usual. That's on July 27th.
Well, wow.
On the same, at the same day, Earth's moon will also appear red, but only for a couple of hours. It will be the longest total lunar eclipse of the century, lasting an hour and 43 minutes. And, of course, when the moon passes into the Earth's shadow, directly opposite of the sun, Unlike solar eclipses, lunar eclipses are safe to view. You don't need special lenses or a box, just your own eyes.
Well, that's cool.
Now, a blood moon occurs when the moon moves completely in the deepest part of the Earth's shadow, known as the umbra. The moon turns red instead of going black, and the red color comes from some of the sunlight going through the Earth's atmosphere. Now, the last time we had blood moons was in 2014-2015. We had two double moons in the spring, two double moons in the fall during the feasts. And then we had the great summer eclipse, and that was last year. It was last year.
Right, in August, yes.
Now, see, the last time we had this blood moon, the double blood moons, we had, and then a lot of people thought this thing was very prophetic. Almost any of us that follow this always think that they're prophetic, because the typology of the blood red moon appears in scripture a lot. And last time we saw the double blood red moon in the spring and the fall, it actually was the beginning and the full thrust of ISIS going through Syria and Iraq, slaughtering tons of Christians, Yazidis, and other Muslims, and taking captive many, many women, children, and young girls, killing a lot of them, destroying churches. And we're still going through the effects of what happened. And you're still seeing prophetic things happen from that, including Erdogan, who has now taken on the Kurds and is doing his best to destroy him because he's always hated him.
That's too bad.
During 2014 and 2015, the U.S. backed the Kurds to fight ISIS. And so Erdogan's hands were tied, but he hates the Kurds because of the political Kurds that are in his country that have been oppressed and would love nothing better than overthrow his power. And then Erdogan recently almost got overthrown. So Erdogan is one of those that is currently persecuting Christians. He threw Pastor Brunson in jail. And when we looked at, ISIS going through, they were in your face. You knew what they were going to do. But in the world today, just because they're not ISIS doesn't mean that there isn't an enemy and a threat to the Christian community as well as others.
That's right.
And we have reported on this ongoing all the time. But the, we're going to talk about, if we got time tonight, about the Kurds and the Yazidis both. And this goes all the way back to 2014-2015. And we're still dealing with the fact there are Yazidi women missing. There are Kurds that are still facing trouble. Actually, the Kurds are causing some trouble with Christian community because of the jizya tax. And the Kurds are also facing trouble from Erdogan, that is the ones in Syria. He doesn't have a problem with the Kurds in Iraq that I know of, but this has been a problem, and this is not going to go away. So when we look at this eclipse that's coming up the 27th of July, we will be considering a lot of the things that's going on, and almost invariably we will look at it as very prophetic, and it's not going to be, and of course this is what you have to understand. Some people believe this is going to bring the apocalypse and the end of the world. That's nonsense. The blood red moon can be used to signify very prophetic events. Scripture tells us that in the end of days, these kind of signs in the sky will occur. But that doesn't mean the end of the earth, the end of civilization, not by a long shot. We got a lot of stuff yet to go in scripture. A lot of things have to be going on. And if the Antichrist was on the throne, if he had already gone into Israel, and if he was encamped in there, and he was getting ready to destroy Israel, and everybody had taken the mark, and the Christian community had disappeared, then I would say, yeah, this could signal the end of the existence. But that's far from the case. We aren't even close to that yet. So, having said that, we are in that, though. And
yes, we are.
It's really hard to believe where we're at. And, of course, up front, coming from International Christian Concern, is that, and it's not just from them. We have a number of reports, a lot of people. CBN was reporting on it. Let's see. As well as a number of others, we're all reporting on the fact of the Fulani and how bad they're getting. Now, of course, we used to report on Boko Haram and what they were doing. And the government of Nigeria, because they depended on oil, and the oil went down, this was during the time of Obama, you know, there was some problems with the oil, so they could not get their income in, and they had a lot of problems. Jonathan Goodluck Johnson was the president. He lost to a Muslim. And as a result, Boko Haram continued to kill Muslims and Christians, both, anybody that got in their way. They had declared Nigeria a place for a caliphate. And so there's been a lot of people concerned about Nigeria because it's been a place that you could actually, you know, a number of people could live fairly free there without any problems, but not anymore. And now, since the Fulani, which the news had come out quite a number of years ago, that Boko Haram had actually infiltrated into the Fulani, and that's probably where they got their guns. Their guns, matter of fact, you know, is like AK, you know, regular military grade rifles and machines gun. Matter of fact, Boko Haram was had better equipment to fight than the Nigerian army. So that gives you an idea how outclassed Nigeria has been.
Yeah.
And so some time ago, they had this attack again on June 20th. They had about 350 people, and of course, the Fulani destroyed the farms and homes, and it was reported that they had burned the town and everything round about. They destroyed the village, burning it. And of course, this made the news, and this was really horrendous. And CBN picked up on the report then, because there's a lot of various ministries that are in a lot of these areas, and they got to be very, very careful. And Nigeria is now the deadliest place in the world to be a Christian, explained Attorney Emmanuel Ogabi. What we have is a genocide. They're trying to displace the Christians, trying to possess their land, and trying to impose their religion on the so-called infidels and pagans who they consider Christians to be. Now, what happens is these Fulani come in with their herds and run them right into the fields of the farmers. The farmers run out to tell them to get out of their field, and they wind up getting shot and murdered. These people then go on into the farmhouse and kill anybody else. And in this case, during this attack, kids were killed, murdered in their houses, and it was a genocide taking place in this particular. And so
I was kind of surprised that they didn't take the children, because that's what they've done a lot of times, is taken children, changed their names to a Muslim name,
yeah,
and taken them across borders, sold them into sex slavery, and all kinds of other horrible things are being done to these children.
Matter of fact, there was a movie, and I'm trying to think of it, I can't think of it, but it was set in Africa, and it had to do with Muslim groups like Boko Haram and others, who had captured young African boys and forced them into fighting in their Muslim army. And it follows this young kid all the way through it, and he's forced to kill people, and he doesn't want to kill them. And finally the leader gets killed, and this young kid leaves and takes some of his friends, and they manage to escape. And I forgot the name of this movie. It's really a gut-wrenching movie to watch. And I believe we saw it on Netflix. I'm not sure. But it happened. This movie is what made several years ago. But
the only one I can think of is Blood Diamond, and I don't know if that's right.
No, this came out after Blood Diamond.
I remember it.
Yeah, and these guys also, this guy that was leading it sodomized the boys as well.
Yeah.
And it
jerk.
And believe it or not, the imams during the time of ISIS came out and said that when these guys are fighting on the field, it's okay to sodomize the enemy, and it's okay to kill them. It's okay to eat their hearts and drink their blood. As a matter of fact, it was going around for a while. We was reporting on it that they were anybody that got Christian blood and drank it would have eternal life. I mean, that's demonic. But that's what some imam had told his people, and of course they believe it, you see.
Well, yeah.
And of course, so Nigeria continues to be a real bad place to be, and we've been reporting on the Fulani as they've increasingly got worse. Nigeria is not going to do anything about it. This current president isn't going to do anything.
Well, they need to. I'm sorry, they need to go in and blow them up.
Well, yeah, they need to kill him. I mean, unfortunately, you may not like it.
No, I don't, but that's what's got to be done.
The president is Buhari of Nigeria. He's the one that beat Jonathan Goodluck Johnson. Buhari has insisted time and time again that he would that they were going to stop it. But really, the problem comes down to the fact is that Buhari is a Muslim. And his armies are Muslim for the most part, but they really don't have the money. They didn't have the money to outfit their army. And so they did win for a while when Nigeria had help from a neighboring country. There was a couple of them that had come in to help them fight them. But it's just a mess. So if you're a Christian in Nigeria, you're in trouble.
Remember to pray for our brethren around the world in these kind of, especially in these kind of situations.
Well, that's so important, as though you're in bonds, scripture says, and in other words, when you pray for them, it's like you were there, so you can identify and intercede for them. We hate to see this. We, all the time, nobody does anything. Now, I know Trump has stood up to some of this, but Obama had a different way. In order to get some people out of Iran, he swaggered a deal with the Ayatollah over there and gave them money, lots of it. But, for the most part, Pakistan, there's oppression of Christians. India, there's the Hindu government. Radical Hindus are oppressing Christians. And I'm talking death here. And we still do business with them. And
We shouldn't be.
No, we shouldn't. And of course, all the Democrats, they look the other way. And the liberals thinking, well, that doesn't matter. We can't stop doing business with them.
It's all about the money.
Well, yeah. If you can't take care of these problems, then why should we do business with them?
Yeah,
it's just right. It's just like China, the China thing, and the America tariff war that's been going on. Well, we've been losing a thing to China for so long and been so far in debt from them. It wasn't until Trump had guts enough to stand up, but see, everybody is just. The liberals are just outraged. Well, these liberals, the knuckleheads that they are, aren't ever going to do anything. You know, if you look, you can see the evidence that we are at an all-time, I think it was a 10-year high or more, in regards to the way the manufacturing sector and the jobs was at its all-time high that we're doing.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
that's
they...
great.
Well, they said that because of the China and American tariff war that, you know, the stock slid. But the stocks slide all the time, and then they go up and they slide again, and you have these
That's
people
right.
come out and say, well, you know, it's all going to go down. Well, Ron Paul's been saying that long before that. He's been saying it for...
years.
Yeah, 20 years that I know of. And so, yeah... I've
eventually
said,
it's going to.
Yeah, one of these days. It's in prophecy. It's in Scripture. We can find evidence of this in Revelation. But whether it does or whether it doesn't, you know, we got two choices. Continue to allow the nations to dictate whether we have jobs for our people or not. There was a time when Made in America meant something.
That's right.
There was a time when we could, you know, manufacture and do things. We lost a lot of our clothing manufacturing and cotton. We lost, you know, of course, all of our oil and stuff to foreign governments. And now because we have the oil coming back and things like this, we got people like Trump who's willing to stand up to NATO. He just goes in and tells them how they did it. He even told the other members that they need to give more and need to pay up and stop messing around.
And that what he said something about the United States is not your the world's piggy bank.
That's true. And that's, you know, and I can tell you Obama didn't do it.
No.
Bush didn't do it. Clinton didn't do it. You know, all I can find, you know, of course, the MSN news app, I got that because they had changed a little bit, but yet one of their stories came out crying about Trump and some of the things he says wasn't truthful. Well, when you begin to talk about truth, the liberal left is people that don't know what truth is, even if it bit them in the butt. So
they should look in the mirror.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it was they were talking about because I didn't read it. I'm not going to read the stuff from some of these idiot leftists.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody else is out there. They can't report on the fact. Even the NATO president praised Trump for telling everybody to pay up. but nobody reports on that, you see. They
yeah.
report on everything else because they are anti-Trump, even
That's
MSN.
Right.
Of course, MSN changed their news app to Microsoft News, and they're getting away from MSN because MSNBC, which is related to MSN, is at the bottom of the pile heap of fake shows, so's ABC, CBS, and NBC. CBS is actually has a little higher caliber because they do have some of their talk shows that the guys that are running them are knuckleheads. But
yeah, and speaking of knuckleheads, that Joy Behar, she said that Trump should not be allowed to pick a Supreme Court justice when this Mueller investigation is going on. And, you know, no matter who he picks, they're not going to like him because it's not about that person, it's about Trump.
Well, it is. Anything Trump. And Joy Behar is an idiot, period. This woman, you know, is goofy. She is wicked. And she shouldn't even be allowed on television. Or anything else. But she is, and the left is. It's just like Joe Scarborough. He's a knucklehead of the... Well, actually, he's more of a fool than he is anything. But these people are on there, and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, no. At any rate, let's get back to this.
Okay.
We're in Zanzibar now in Tanzania, and we're going to go through some of these fairly quick, but just wanted to remind you of them. The Pentecostal Evangelistic Fellowship of Africa, that's it's closed after the eighth week because the surrounding Muslim community said that the church's services were too loud. And, of course, it came from a sheikh from a nearby mosque.
Of course.
So they arrested the church pastor. And, you know, so Bishop Daniel, well, they were just praising the Lord, probably.
Mm-hmm.
They did a shameful thing to our congregation and to all the Christians in Zanzibar, even after pleading with him to wait for about 15 minutes so I could end the sermon. It was harrowing and barbaric to storm the church service, pull our pastor away, and bundle him into the police car.
Good
our efforts grief. Didn't stop the arrest. Were futile because the policemen were rude and unreasonable. The violation of our rights as Christians in Zanzibar has been continuing unabated, and this has resulted in the high level of persecution. Now, see, that's... And you just see it all the time.
Oh, you do.
And
horrible, tragic.
A lot of the things that they're facing are the burning of churches, attack on pastors, destruction of the pastor's home, the rape and forced conversion of young Christian girls, which is not uncommon in Islam at all. We reported on that happening even in Egypt, but it happens in a lot of the Muslim areas. And these Christians, you know, really can't do much, but, you know, the bottom line of it is that if you were a father and they went and raped your wife and your daughter, you know, the Christian men ought to get guns and go shoot these turkeys.
That's right.
But see, they can't do that. They don't have guns. Number two, they just don't do that. But, you know, this is what you have from the Muslims. And unfortunately, now, we're in
Pakistan.
You know, the Indians, when they found someone that was mentally retarded or disabled, they considered him blessed of God.
Even the Japanese
wouldn't
touch him.
But at any rate, he was convicted of committing blasphemy, and he was severely beaten by his fellow prisoners. The young guy, age 25, was accused by a Muslim cleric of burning the pages of a booklet carrying verses. Now, we reported on this when it happened.
Right.
And this happened in 2015. Now, I remember this incident. And so... this tells you how safe it is. Even when you know, you want to get free, you're not going to get free in these countries. These countries persecute Christians. They put them up on charges, and they're not going to allow them to get away. Just like
false
charges. This is what we reported on this in Pakistan, in India. With radical Hindus, we reported on this with Erdogan concerning Pastor Brunson, who's the judge that he came before, wouldn't even allow anybody to testify on his behalf. They didn't even have people that testified against Brunson that even knew him.
I know, isn't that crazy?
And the whole thing was a setup. On Erdogan's part, because it's a political thing. But see, this is what happens. This is what's happening. And so when this thing gets worldwide, you're not going to find justice for Christians. When a system comes in, and I'm not saying it's going to be Muslim, it's going to be the beast. And you're not going to get any kind of fairness. And that's where it says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. This is the faith and the patience of the saints. And it says about the beast that he will make war with Christians, with the believers. And he will overcome them. That word overcome means to wear out. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean to kill, but we know that many will get killed. Will get martyred, But there will be a lot of them that will be thrown in prison, and they'll be beaten, and they'll be tortured, and they're going to waste away in prison. You know, the faith and patience of the saints, you're not going to get out when this dark time comes. And this is the problem. And we see this kind of stuff going on right now. Now, I wanted to touch on another thing I thought was good, Tower, and that's that couples in Alaska adventure.
Oh, yeah.
And you can look it over if you have a story that, you know, that you would like to read, but I don't want to take time for all of it, but I'm going to talk about it a bit while you can look it over. But this gives military couples a fresh start. And this Samaritan's Purse heads this up. And of course, Franklin Graham has a great desire to back the military, and believes that this country, from what he has said and warned about, that this country needs to get back to its footing in God. Nevertheless, you know, it's so needful, and finding this thing up in Alaska. And Alaska is one of those places that is just, you know, close to nature. And so when you get up there and you get in this thing, you can really find time to think. You're away from the maddening crowd, and you can hear the Word of God. And a lot of people do this when they're dealing in ministry. They will take people away from the hustle and the bustle, put them in a place that they can just relax, and it's pleasant on the eye and on the mind and on the body. You know, it just refreshes you, and then you hear the Word of God, and the Lord can work. So, Tower, did you look at
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm going to read one.
Okay.
Like that, this is from Samaritan's Purse. Did you say that? Because I don't know if you did.
No, that's fine.
This is a ministry of Samaritan's Purse where they take couples during the summer to Alaska. They pay for everything. They have all kinds of activities, and they meet with them, and I just... This story is, one of them was retired Marine Staff Sergeant Jeremiah Workman. He was baptized during this retreat, and he had received the Navy Cross in honor of his gallant life-saving actions in Iraq during a December 23, 2004 firefight. But he'd lost three friends in that incident and struggled with PTSD. His wife Jessica trusted Christ in 2014, so it was a long hope for a moment when her husband became a believer as well. On Wednesday we sat down, Jessica and I, with the chaplain, and it was my moment, he said. I knew it was like there was a spotlight shining on me. It was my time. Since Iraq, I had this wall around me, and I don't let people in, and I don't come out too often. But after being here this week, I think it's time to tear that wall down and let Jesus into my life. And that's just one of those stories that we hear about, that many of these couples have received Christ, rededicated themselves to Christ, have been healed, their marriages and families have been restored. So it's... wonderful ministry from that Samaritan's Purse does is called Operation Heal Our Patriots. And you can donate that to them to help them restore these patriots. I love what they're doing with these people.
Yeah. And there's, you know, the thing of it is that...
Because it's very... traumatic going to war. you know, being in these other countries away from your family and seeing people killed and seeing the destruction and the evilness of the enemy and having to deal with that, it's very traumatic. And
it is. And we're glad to be able to just bring this to you and let you know, because we do try to tell you about the ministries that are making a difference. And you know, God's mercy is there for people that need help.
That's right.
Now, Christian Aid Mission. And, you know, we get to the point where we have many people that were run out of Iraq or run out of Syria. Many of them went into Turkey. And some of them made it into Jordan. There was others, even from Africa, that went across the Mediterranean, entered in through Greece and up through Italy and into the EU. And there's a 35-year-old father of three. He spent 2 years in a camp for the displaced in Erbil, Iraq. Now, this goes back to the time of ISIS coming in, who took over his town, burned his house, and blew up his liquor shop. And he didn't think he would ever return home. And, you know, the bottom line of it is, many people have accepted the risk to live in their burned-out houses in areas where there's no government services. There's no water, electricity, or sewer. And so it causes great suffering, frustration, and the families end up adapting to some extent, but they still have lost everything. And, of course, he tried to adapt, and you know, so right now what they're trying to do is rebuild that has been destroyed. Now, I know when we covered the Kurds in Kobani, instead of ISIS taking over, they actually drove ISIS out. But by the time the firefight was over, the town was in rubble. And we saw this throughout Syria and Iraq. So what happens is they're forced to rebuild, I mean, everything from scratch again. And so you wind up with people that need aid. So this is where Native missionaries, this is where Samaritan's Purses even come in, and many others have come in to try to help rebuild. And
so this guy, this Zane, I believe he's getting help rebuilding his shop, but this time, rather than liquor, he plans to sell school supplies and books and distribute Bibles free of charge to anyone who makes a purchase.
Yeah, that's the Christian Aid Mission.
Yeah.
So this is their story. This is what they're doing to help out. And you find a lot of people that, I mean, when you've lost everything, I mean, there's no banks, there's nothing, there's no phone, there's just absolutely nothing. And so it's just gut-wrenching.
Oh, it is.
To think how much destruction ISIS got away with. It's beyond me how the world sat for so long on their butts and did nothing.
Yes, that's right.
But nobody did anything. And it wasn't until Assad got some help from Russia that they were able to do some stuff. Now, the Morning Star News is another Christian ministry type news site. And they are reporting on an incident. Hindu extremists at lunch launched an attack on a pastor's son in southern India. And of course, we say Hindu extremists because the Hindi government took over some time ago, and it was feared when they had taken over, and I think it's been 4 or 5 years now, that there would be Christian prosecution. But they accused a pastor of running a brothel.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
And so the mob attacked him and his son. And they were building a church. And so they were going to stop him, which is what they did. I mean, the bottom line of it is that... if you want to be a Christian, you can't have a church. And we find this in many other areas where you have to have a certain amount of, you have to have the paperwork for it and get everybody to agree to allow you to build a thing. Now, in other countries where we've reported on these same kind of things, Christians want to build a church, but it's hard to get okay. And in other places, they go ahead and they meet in their homes, and they still get in trouble because they're holding church, but they're in a home. So no matter which way you look at it, Christians are hunted down here. And we find mm-hmm. them hunted down in India many times by Hindu mobs. And you know, they're still trying to build the church, but they continue to get people that oppose them, all kinds of things going on. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that this is India, and this is par for the course. Now, there are parts of India that are heavier Christian, and you don't have this kind of a problem. But even in India, the Muslims there even have problems. So, now see, here's another one out of India. And this comes from a portion of India where 10 Christian families were driven out of their homes. And, you know, the par for the course is you get a bunch of radical Hindus around, you attack these Christian families, and you drag them out of their homes because usually they're outnumbered 100 to 1. And of course, they're going to kill you, burn your home, or whatever. And of course, they were driven out because the Christians did not recant their Christian faith. This happened in early June.
Good grief.
And... it was in the Latahar district, and they were summoned to meet with local radicals who told them to recant their Christian faith or leave the village. And of course, they're still away from their homes. Their houses are locked, and there is...
And the local authorities are unable or unwilling to provide assistance to help them.
Now, you see, remember, when we talk about this, India guarantees religious rights. They just don't enforce it. We've been reporting on the violations in many countries, and you can, without question, they all have something in their constitution that guarantees rights for the individual citizens, but it's never carried out. This is the problem you have.
Yeah, somebody needs to get in there and carry it out, follow through.
Yeah. And now see, here's another one. Now, this is an Iranian Christian. Now see, this thing takes place in a Greek refugee camp. See, Greece got overran by immigrants or refugees, as well as all of Europe, as well as Italy. But the problem that we reported, because the word started coming out, that all the refugees weren't alike, because there was a lot of Muslims, and many times, and this is what Tower and I couldn't understand, and many others, is that the refugees coming out, there was a lot of young Muslim men with no women and no children, and they were trying to get into Europe under suspicious circumstances, but they made it anyway. So these young kids form gangs, and they're able to do things. Now, we know this from Sweden and many other places in Europe that are having problems with Muslim gangs. Now, this is happening in Greece, where you have Christian converts who were Muslim, but they became Christians. So they're attacked by Islamic hardliners who are in the refugee camp. And nine times out of ten, within here, you're going to find a lot of young Muslim men that have come up for the express purpose of propagating Islam, in Europe. Matter of fact, this is what Erdogan even banks on, is that secret army he has stashed away in various countries in Europe, because he has spent years building mosques and funding them and putting his own imams in there and teaching their own brand. And recently reported that there was 9 mosques that were closed and the people were sent out because of what they were preaching.
But yeah, this, that's good.
But this is what we have. And, here you have these a group of Iraqi Muslims who were living in this refugee camp attacked a group of Iranian Christians who were holding a Bible study there. And all the Christians are converts, and they're active in sharing their faith, so this right away causes problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called to testify.
Don't they have police or some kind of army guarding these people or helping in the refugee camps to keep this stuff from going on?
Well, you know, over the years, they've never, even the NATO-run camps, there's never been anybody that did anything. We know from the Croatian War and the stuff over there, when the UN was in there, the UN peacekeepers, that there was times the peacekeepers just stood around and watched and did nothing. Sometimes they can't do anything. But more often than not, we find that within the refugee camps, it's dangerous to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, these Christians were called Kafirs and told to leave the camp. Well, see, and then, of course, they talked about one of the men who had a heart condition, and the attack caused him to pass out. And, of course, just a bunch of morons, these Muslims, because they are so in tune to promoting Islam. They mistake this one thing, and that is 9 times out of 10, these Christians in Europe that are here in these camps, and the ones in a lot of the countries we report on, they will not fight back. They won't. And the Muslims interpret that as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kill them. And this really is a problem, because the Muslims have no problem killing and thinking that they're the true and true faith. And so this is not going to go away. And for those Muslims in America, don't try that in America. It ain't gonna work.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you're gonna find the Christians here hunt, and they defend themselves. Israel defended themselves. David, a man after God's own heart, was a warrior of God's, and yet he was justified before God. We have a God-given right to protect ourselves. We don't go willy-nilly and murder a brother just for the hell of it like these Muslims do. But, you know, if you want to live in peace, we'll live in peace. But if you want war and come on over and try to do something to my family, for instance, and that's what, when I say men, I mean American Christians, there are those, many of them, who will defend themselves. And that's all there is to it. And this goes back to the Crusades, and it's not going to stop there. But it is absolutely unconscionable how Muslims like this can think that they are brave men when they are harassing like a bunch of damnable thugs people who want to live in peace with you.
Yeah, that just is senseless.
These Muslims, as tough as they seem, are scared to death of Christians. That is the black and white of it. The brave people here are the Christians that, in spite of being harassed and murdered, they still refuse to kill their enemy. The chickens, the foolish chickens, are the Muslim thugs. And ISIS was the greatest damnable thugs there was. And many of them are burning in hell to this day for what they did in 2014, 2015. It pains me that we have to say that. It pains me that there are people that are so sold out to darkness that they will not listen. But the American church, I got news for you. If you think that you know, you can stay loose and away from God and Laodicean and not be held accountable, you're nuttier than a fruitcake. It's time for the church to wake up. And many, many churches are Laodicean in this nation called America. While organizations, Christian organizations from this country and other country are risking everything to help fellow believers and Muslims, by the way.
That's right.
Because Muslims are become victims of other Muslims many times as well. And in Iraq and Syria, it was the same thing. And we see an ongoing thing as well, and that is Muslims getting saved and becoming Christians by the bucket load, I might say.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it?
It is, and this is why these Muslim thugs are afraid to death of Christianity. And Christians, all they have to do is pray. God does the rest. The Lord is the one. He's the one bringing them in. If he finds a Muslim that has a heart for God and wants to really find the true and living God, he will reveal himself if you will seek him.
Yes, that's a fact. Amen.
And so this is the problem. This is why they hate Christians to this day. But we have churches today that are in the world and love the world and want to be like the world. You don't do the world any favor by telling them that their sins are okay. And that's the problem we have in America.
Yep. Afraid to tell them the truth.
Exactly. And of course, talking about the Kurdish government, now, when I did research on the Kurds at the time of the Kobani thing, because I didn't know exactly what they meant. Now, in their Kurdish doctrine, their government, how they would run their government, they wanted a country where Muslims, Christians, Jews, Yazidis, anybody that was there, they could all live freely and under one flag and be safe. Now what we're finding out is the Kurdish government are going to be charged with tax. Now, you know, the the high tax, the jizya tax, it's exclusively imposed by the Kurdish government. And this town of Ankawa, it has a Christian majority. And so we see this tax on Christians there. And of course, this is something that is happens when Islam takes over a country. That's what they do. When they get into Sharia law, there's a council, and they impose the jizya tax on unbelievers. And you have to pay money if you want to be left alone. And that way, if a Muslim tries to hurt you, it's supposed to be that you can find help. But
I doubt that.
In a Muslim society, as a Christian, you're dog meat. Period. And, I mean, as for myself, I wouldn't function in a Muslim-run Sharia law society. I am not a friend of Sharia law. I am not a friend of Islamic baloney. And I will not be. Now, I have had a lot of good conversations, a number of them with Muslims in this country and their families, done business with them. And I know of Muslims who I respect and who write, and they want a republic, a constitutional republic, a democracy like ours. Now, of course, a democracy and a constitutional republic are two different things. We're no longer a constitutional republic. We're a democracy headed towards socialism, in the throes of socialism. But this is the problem that you have. So that's the other problem, among everything else. And of course, in addition to this, as we close, I want to remember the Yazidis. And, you know, Tower, the one thing I remember about the Yazidis is this young Yazidi woman who had been taken captive, who had been raped so many times she couldn't even pee. And she prayed that she would die. And there was an airstrike that came, and she actually lived through it. Killed everybody around her, but she lived through it.
Well, you're just, it just breaks your heart that people are treated like that.
But see, these Muslims raped her until she couldn't barely walk. She almost died from the rapes, and she couldn't pee because she was so sore because of these idiots. Now see, that's not a religion. That's damnation.
Yeah.
And if you are trying to prove that Islam is a religion of the true and living God, you're going about it the wrong way. I serve the true and the living God, and he is full of love, and he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross so that you might live.
Amen.
And have your sins forgiven.
Amen.
That's the true and living God.
That's right.
And I reject your thinking and everything associated with it. When I look and I see what you've done, your fruits are of the devil. They're darkness and they're evil. You call me an unbeliever? I'm not an unbeliever. I know very well who you serve. I know who Muhammad was, and I know who he is, and I know who your God is, and it sure ain't the true and living God. And I can tell you today that you are an evil, destitute religion headed for perdition if you do not repent. Woe unto thee, O harlot, O whore. And for all you Americans that kiss up to it, woe unto you.
Amen.
Now, yes, you can be a Muslim in America, and that's fine. I don't care who you serve. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and living God, even our Father of our Savior and Lord, Yeshua, Jesus Christ.
Amen, that's right.
So at any rate, we got through those. There was a lot of information, but we wanted to cover that. Don't forget to pray for the persecuted church.
Yes, amen. They need it.
Yes. So with that, we're going to have to go.
Okay, well, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Join us tomorrow night for John's Gospel Witness to Jesus Christ on Remnant Battle Lines.
Amen.
Okay, good night, everybody. We love you. We pray for you. Thank you.
Shalom, everybody. See you tomorrow. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Friday night, Sunday brunch, it does not matter. Facts are facts, queen. Every cigarette can cut your life short. Find that hard to believe? Then tap the banner for more. This free life. Freedom to be tobacco free.